escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
McMonagle here with you. I got you for 5 hours on our five-hour midnight ride to 5 a.m. Sorry I didn't sing the whole song. My voice a little rough after screaming all day, as we are champions. The McMonagles are flag football champions. That's right. The Dolphins, not the Eagles, thankfully. The Dolphins and my oldest son, Tommy, won the championship earlier today. I was screaming my heart out. First time experiencing it with the kids where the games matter and the score counts. I mean, I guess all season kind of did, but we didn't care so much. It was more about getting all the kids involved. But now we were the one seed in the playoffs, in the championship game. First experience caring about the outcome of my son's game. It was interesting. We'll obviously get to that and have a little fun as we have 5 hours. And you know it, not a ton going on. It's one of those shows where we're going to do a lot of different things, get into a lot of different stuff, have a little fun, maybe talk some movies, some music, my kids' games, what it's like to be a parent these days. And, of course, baseball, as we are still there. Are we really talking about the swing-off? I did this yesterday. Are we still talking about whether or not the swing-off would be part of actual baseball games? It won't be. We'll get to that as well. Von Miller signs with Washington. How good can the Commanders be? I want to get into a little football with the Jets and the Giants. We'll probably do more of that on what we'll call a Football Friday tomorrow for another five-hour midnight ride. But there are still baseball conversations to be had as we are finally here. This is the last day. It's the last day without baseball. Baseball will be back tomorrow night. It's still a ways away. But it's tomorrow night, the second half starts, and we're talking about these two teams, the trade deadline tonight, the David Wright documentary, Met fans. We could talk David Wright and his history, and I think that leads itself into a Pete Alonso conversation as the numbers, as David Wright is one of, along with Daryl Strawberry, one of the great homegrown players in Met history, and we're watching Pete Alonso now. And is Pete Alonso going to be here beyond this season? That's a conversation I think worthy of having, and we will at 888-808-1019. But these two teams in particular right now, and I started the week, and I'm going to continue it here, but I started the week on Monday talking about the two different GMs and how we expect to attack this deadline. And you know, it's funny, because I said with one hand, we don't know how Stearns is going to operate. We might have an idea, and he's done an incredible job in his first 2 years here with the New York Mets, right? He really has. He's done a really good job of building a rotation out of nothing. They've had two really good seasons. They were able to stem the tide. I think, obviously, he hired, in my mind, and you can let me know if you feel different, Met fans, at 888-808-1019. I feel like he's hired a pretty damn good manager in Mendoza. And ultimately, down 11 games under 500 last year in what felt like disarray early on in the season, you have rock bottom coined by Gary Cohen as they were 5-0 staring 0-5 staring 0-6 in the face. They rallied from that a little bit, down 11 games under 500. We all know the everything that went on from that point on, what he's done with the rotation. Overall, Stearns has done a really good job, but this is the first time that we are really going to see David Stearns make that transition from mid-market team in Milwaukee, where he did an incredible job and built up an organization with the Brewers that is still, now not to take away credit from what's going on from the guys who are still running it in Milwaukee today, is they've gotten hot over the last few weeks of the first half and are poised to be right there in the National League conversation. But not to take away from them, but this was kind of built by Stearns, and it's still doing a damn good job with Milwaukee. And now this is the first year where you look at it, and this is championship or bust. You go get Juan Soto, you spend the money, you put together this team, you go to the NLCS last year, you have Pete Alonso making more money than anybody else at third base, you got Lindor, who was an MVP candidate last year, you go out and add Juan Soto to it. There is, without question, you saw Manaea become an ace. Now, you're just getting him back, but you saw Manaea become that top-level pitcher. Like, there was a lot of questions last year. There was a lot of answers this year. And now this team has no choice but to go, in my mind, and attack the deadline as if they have to fill holes to go in a championship. And we'll see how David Stearns does it, how he likes to move prospects, how aggressive will the Mets be. I think we all understand the owner is someone who will be uber aggressive, and if he has to take on money, he will. And that's a question as well to be asked about the New York Yankees, but we don't know about him. But I felt like we knew about Brian Cashman. And yet I still hear, and I guess there's a conversation to be had about it, but I still hear, whether it's callers to me, I hear callers to Keith, there's no doubt that Brian Cashman's going to go be aggressive. And I've asked the question multiple fronts and multiple days about whether or not you would trade top prospect. I asked you Yankee fans all week long, would you trade Spencer Jones? Would you trade Schlittler? Would you trade some of the top prospects? Hey, is Dominguez untouchable? Remember the conversation that was started at the beginning of this deadline, sort of when Cashman met the media? You know, some are more touchable than others, the awkward answer from Brian Cashman. Is Dominguez untouchable for you right now? Like, who's off the table for you as a Yankee fan? And I've been asking that question all week, and I've gotten mixed responses, but here's the one thing that I'm puzzled by, as I heard a caller driving in today with Keith. Why do we expect Brian Cashman to make a trade for a Suarez or someone who's productive at the major league level? Why would we even assume Brian Cashman would ever do that? Even Keith has been very skeptical of whether or not the Yankees would do something. Like, what are we talking about? Now, yes, you know, are we going to point back to Castillo? And that the fact that they went and got Frankie Montas instead the one time, like the idea that Brian Cashman and the New York Yankees have not been aggressive. Now, you can talk about the failures of it. And that is where the problem lies. The problem lies in whether or not those moves have ended up being successful. And here's a clue for you. Whether they are willing to trade Spencer Jones, or whether they're willing to trade Schlittler, or they're willing to bring in Suarez, just because Suarez has 34 home runs entering the All-Star break doesn't mean squat on what he'll do for the New York Yankees if he's traded here. And it feels like if he's not very good for the Yankees, in 3 years we'll look back on it and say, well, Brian Cashman never does anything. He's been uber aggressive. You can go through it since 2019. We act like he's never brought major league talent at the trade deadline. He's never out and went and got aggressive. Like, I started the week. It's going to be interesting. We know what Brian Cashman gives, and we're very, you know, interested to find out how this you know, how David Stearns and the Mets are going to handle it. I thought it was a given that we understood Brian Cashman after his comments and his track record that he's going to be aggressive. But it sounds like we still don't believe that the New York Yankees are aggressive at the trade deadline, when the fact of the matter is they've been nothing but. You can go back to whether it's trading for Stanton in the offseason and trading for an MVP. Now, again, this isn't to say the success of it, because I'm with you. The success rate has not been good. Fully on board with that, I'm willing. I think that goes without saying. I can't muster an argument against that. But the idea they're not going to go out there and attempt it or to make an aggressive move like Suarez is some sort of pie in the sky. It's not. It's not. You go back to 2019, they trade for Edwin Encarnacion to add to that team that won 100-plus games, that won the division. He had an 888 OPS with Seattle halfway through. Is that not trading for a major league talent? Now, he's at the end of his career. He only played one more season, and he was terrific in the postseason against Minnesota and then couldn't hit against the Astros. But is that not an aggressive trade move to go get one of the premier sluggers in the sport for a decade plus in Edwin Encarnacion when he still had just a shy under a 900 OPS when he was traded for from Seattle? We could laugh at Joey Gallo, and I get it, but in 2021, while the team was floundering and the team didn't show the same promise that I believe this team has shown for most of the season, they need left-handed power. They're going to get Rizzo and Gallo. Rizzo is a platinum glove-winning World Series champion. Incredible player who was good for the Yankees up until he ran his face into Fernando Tatis Jr. We could laugh at Joey Gallo and how bad it's turned out, and now he's trying to give pitching a shot, and I agree with you, but at the time, he's a two-time All-Star, two-time Gold Glover, on pace for 40 home runs that season. I'll never forget driving home, and Evan Roberts called me to congratulate me on the New York Yankees trading for Joey Gallo. In 2022, yes, there you get Montas instead of Castillo, sure. They also got Benintendi, who was hitting 320 for the Royals. 320. The perfect kind of hitter the Yankees need. They don't need the power. They need that, you know, real kind of ball, you know, that contact skill. Bat to ball. That's the kind of guy they need. Well, Benintendi was hitting 320 for the Royals. He had a good career in Boston prior to that. And Bader, who was great in the postseason. We laugh at it now, but Bader in the postseason was a thing. We forget about it. Then 2023 sits it out, and you know what? Rightfully so. That team wasn't very good. He didn't do a good job putting the roster together. I complained about it. I wanted him gone after 2023. It was an ugly season. Then he turns around and trades for Juan Soto. I would consider that major league talent. Wouldn't you? I know he missed the All-Star game, which, by the way, of course he should have been an All-Star. And I said this yesterday, Yankee fans, don't embarrass yourself. I'm not sure why he's not an All-Star. I'm not sure why they didn't vote him in. Money, jealousy, whatever. I don't care. The dude's one of the premier stars of the game. He's a top MVP candidate every single year. He's one of the great players. He just signed the biggest contract in the history of sports. He plays in New York City. He was the story of the offseason. He's got an OPS over 900. He's an All-Star. It was ridiculous he wasn't in the game. I don't know how else to see it. But they trade for him. Is that not acquiring major league level talent? Jazz Chisholm last year. How was Jazz down the stretch of the season for the Yankees? How's Jazz doing this year? Now, again, I have no misconceptions that they're going to go out and be willing to move their big prospects. I don't know if they're going to be willing to trade Schlittler. I would think they are. I don't know if they're going to be willing to trade Spencer Jones. I would think they would be in the right deal. He's come out. He's talked about how he's got to be aggressive. And the idea that so many Yankee fans, and I get it, and this isn't even to defend him because a lot of the moves I just gave you turned out to be bad trades. Obviously. I didn't even bring up the Donaldson, who's a former MVP winner with an 830 OPS when they traded for him. Like, I get it. Terrible trades. Trades that did not work out for whatever reason. But the amount of Yankee fans who have no faith that Brian Cashman will at least go out and attempt to bring in real talent. The idea that they're constantly bargain-based. I didn't even bring up Sonny Gray in this conversation because it was years ago. Sonny Gray was the best starting pitcher on the trade market. He was the ace of the A's. He was the premier guy. He was everybody wanted him. Nobody wanted Verlander. He was the trade of that trade deadline. Now, it didn't work out. Verlander obviously went on to have a better career. But they gave up four prospects for him. He was the acquisition to be had, and the Yankees went out and got him. I can't provide nothing but success rate because it hasn't been there. And ultimately, it is about winning and getting the player that comes in and impacts winning. And on that front, I'm not defending him. But as we head into this trade deadline and we talk about whether or not we will see how aggressive the Mets will be, I think the Mets will be aggressive. I think Stearns and Cohen will be aggressive. But I know Brian Cashman is going to go out there and be aggressive. His track record says it. And we're conflating and confusing success and the outcome of the trade years later with whether or not the aggressiveness was there in the moment. Those trades were there. They went out. I just gave you from 2019, I gave you five or six different names of all-star caliber players that the Yankees brought in. And it's about having them be successful, and almost to a person, they have all not been as good as before they came here. That Edwin Encarnacion, again, was pretty good for them down the stretch in 19, was great in the Minnesota series, was absolutely atrocious. The most stable stud slugger in baseball for a decade, just forgot how to swing a bat against the Astros. Of all of the things that have happened to the New York Yankees since their last championship, that might, and all the failures in the postseason, that might be the most puzzling. Because if you remember that 2019 series, he looked like he didn't know how to swing a bat. But Sonny Gray was an ace and the premier name to be moved. Edwin Encarnacion is one of the great sluggers of his generation. Rizzo's a Platinum Glove Award winner, champion, leader, all-star player. MVP caliber player. Joey Gallo, two-time all-star, on a pace for hit 40 home runs. Benintendi, good career in Boston, hitting 320 when traded for. Jazz, like, the aggressiveness is there. And hopefully, this time, so will be the results. But make no mistake, I can't continue to hear the amount of people saying they have no faith that the Yankees will be aggressive or that Brian Cashman won't go bargain bin and he holds on to prospects. Some he does, yeah. We're looking at Peraza, absolutely. And Duhar came up and showed you how good he could be in 2018, and the Yankees tried to hold on to that. Then Gio Urshela came in, and it was a awkward kind of let's see, but Gio's better, and we're going to try and give him some run, but we don't have a great run because Gio turned into something special, and it was awkward with him, no doubt. The top echelon of their prospects, but we forget. The guys they traded for Sonny Gray were all big-time prospects. Caprillion was a big-time pitching prospect. They've traded prospects. They've been aggressive. They've been unsuccessful. All of that is true.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
But I fully expect the New York Yankees to be aggressive. I fully expect Brian Cashman to be aggressive. The question to me, and again, I asked you whether you would trade some of these guys for rentals. I'll answer the question as well as take your answers on it throughout the show here at 888-808-1019. I'll finally give my opinion here on a Thursday. I've let you guys answer that question for a week. I give my answer later in the show. But I don't think the question is whether or not Brian Cashman is going to be aggressive. The question will be, is this owner willing to go over the luxury tax? How much money, if there's a salary dump to be had, if there's money coming back onto the books, if they can't unload, say, the dream of getting rid of either maybe Grisham or really Stroman would be the great one to get rid of and save $9 million from Marcus Stroman, like, if those deals aren't out there to get some money off the books while attempting to add, is this owner going to be willing to bring on the payroll? That's the question of the New York Yankees, not whether or not Brian Cashman is willing to go out there and be aggressive. Because I just gave you the last 7 years, and all but one, there are aggressive moves and major league talent brought back. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. So we'll start there. We'll get into some of the questions still lingering about the All-Star game and how the things went down and whether or not you would like to see Major League Baseball games that actually impact pennant races and championships. Would you like to see those games end with a swing-off? We'll get into that. We'll get a little football as, again, Von Miller joins the Washington Commanders. Does that really impact them all that much? And how do we feel about the New York Giants right now? We've spent the last couple of days talking about the Jets and their signings. Giants are a football team too, you know. And they have an interesting season ahead of them where I think they have a chance to be a hell of a lot better than people think. So we'll get into some football. We'll get into the baseball, both teams and the trade deadline. Anything you want to talk about. My son winning a flag football championship. All on the table. A little bit of music, a little bit of movies. If anybody's seen Superman, please give me a call. I'm dying to know. See what you thought about it. It seems to be a very polarizing topic. We can get into debunked stores like Tower Records and Blockbuster. That's the kind of day it is, as we're on a five-hour midnight ride all the way to 5 a.m. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you in the overnights. I got you till 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. We'll come back and take your calls next on The Fan. We also, off of, you know, the video that they put out of me yesterday, which, again, always catch me off guard because they so rarely do it, about Anthony Volpe. Comments made by Alex Rodriguez about Anthony Volpe that are kind of making the rounds over the last day or so when he was talking to Michael Kay. I still think there's an Anthony Volpe conversation from a different angle every which way almost on a daily basis. We'll get into a little bit of Anthony Volpe, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything on this wide open Thursday morning 5 hour midnight ride. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Steve in Bayside. What's up, Steve?
Well, you set me up a little bit there with Anthony Volpe. If you want to look at his offensive struggles this year, you could trace them back almost to the day of when he made that dive and hurt his shoulder. Now, the Yankees love to downplay injuries like that. But
it also would explain a little bit of the extreme defense of Anthony Volpe, too, if like everyone in the room knows he's playing through injury.
Yeah. And on to your main point about trading away potentially future stars for 2 months of a rental.
Yeah.
I think you'd have to be absolutely out of your mind as a GM. And most GMs don't make trades like that unless they're really desperate, and which Brian Cashman obviously never is. I mean, if anything, he's like, you know, the eternal GM.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have, if you have somebody like a Spencer Jones or Schlittler that you believe is going to be a good contributor for you for 6, possibly 7 years, what would be the prime years of his career,
mm-hmm.
and then you trade for somebody like a Eugenio Suarez who is changing leagues and could very well come here, as you just detailed, and have an adjustment period and not be very good for a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
It's how many times has this blown up in the Yankees' faces?
Yeah.
And we have this thing. People like to say, they like to point at Anthony Volpe and say, oh, the Yankees can't develop their own players. Just trade them all, trade all this. That's ridiculous, too. Look at the roster.
Yep.
Catcher, first base. Shortstop, people want to criticize Volpe, but shortstop, even the third baseman going to the season, Oswaldo Cabrera, left field, right field, don't forget Judge.
Of course.
Don't forget, they've built their bullpen for the last 10 years, filling it in with guys from the minor leagues. Going into the season, 3/5 of their rotation were homegrown guys.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees can't develop their own players? Are you out of your mind? Open your eyes.
But here's the problem, Steve. They haven't won a championship with those players. That's all we care about. That's all. I'm 100% with you. You look at how much of the rotation, starting catcher, starting left field, starting right field, starting shortstop, Ben Rice. I'm totally with you. I completely agree.
Well,
the entire roster is filled with guys who are homegrown. Now, they're not stars, but they're good enough to take a team to the World Series. They're good enough to be one of the better teams in the American League. Like, but nobody cares about that. They've got to win. That's why, you know, I've seen the rounds that over the last, 15 or so years, that Anthony Volpe has the fourth highest. Now, draft isn't everything, but he's got the fourth highest WAR of any Yankee draft pick in the last 20 years. And so the idea of like Anthony Volpe is the fourth best player the Yankees have drafted in 20 years and they want him off the team. That's an indication of how poorly they've drafted and developed. But I disagree. Like, I mean, one, look around Major League Baseball. Tell me how many other teams have drafted and developed so well. Like, even look at the Dodgers. They've done a nice job. They've made some trades, but look at their team. They're the top of the rotation, the top of the lineup that's also devastating. Which one of them is drafted by the Dodgers? Otani or Betts or Freeman or Teoscar Hernandez? Or like, who is actually drafted by the Dodgers?
And look at speaking of the Dodgers, look at a guy like Mookie Betts. Everybody talks about Judge's struggles. Look at what he's been doing in the postseason for the last few years.
He's been one of the worst postseason players in the sport.
That's why this whole postseason thing is nonsense. It's player of the month. You know, you're trying to trade for a player of the month. Look at the player of the month in April and May and June and July, and look at how the variation and how it's sometimes it's good players, sometimes it's guys that are just hot.
Yep.
Well, you're looking for the player of the month in October every year. If you looked at the players of the month for the past few years and then tried to make sense of that, you'll drive yourself nuts.
Steve, you're speaking my language. I'm 100% with you. Now, there are the occasional outliers. There's a couple of groups of players. Since the Dynasty Yankees of the late 90s and 2000, since that group, which, by the way, that group was still kind of together. Yeah, Tino left, Brocious left, Paul O'Neill retired. But there was still the core four there and some pieces left over. And they didn't exactly, they didn't always perform in the postseason either. A lot of first-round exits with Joe Torre. We don't remember that. And he won four championships, so no one cares, rightfully so. But for this purpose, like, even that group eventually did not perform every postseason. But you look at it, like, it's the Astros, and you have to give it to them. They tanked. They lost 100 games 3 years in a row. They had a lot of top draft picks. And then since that moment, they've built an organization and a group that has consistently performed well in the postseason. And then even beyond that, the tanking, they find ways to bring in Tucker. They find ways to bring in Yordan Alvarez. They find ways to replace Correa with Peña. So it's not just the tanking led to that one group. It led to Springer. It led to Correa. It led to Altuve. You know, I know not all of them were drafted, but Springer and Correa certainly were. But they've done a really good job as an organization. You can't deny it. They were on a roll there and found a consistent group that has performed well in the Alex Bregman, like, they have found guys who perform well in the postseason and done it on a regular basis. The Giants won 3 championships in 6 years. They had some guys who really performed well in the postseason, and they got Posey and they got, a bunch of different guys there who performed. Obviously, the starting pitcher who always escapes my mind at 12:35 in the morning. Who's the great pitcher in the postseason? Why do I always forget his name? Madison Bumgarner. Madison Bumgarner was a great postseason pitcher. Like, those are the two groups. Like, even the Dodgers, they won in the short season of 2020, and then they won last year. But look at their postseason failures. They lost to a Brave team without Acuna. They lost to a 2019 Nationals team. They lost to the Arizona Diamondbacks a couple years ago. Like, they've lost to the Padres. Like, they haven't been consistently good in the postseason. We'll see. Maybe this new adoration of them with Ohtani is going to change that, and they will start performing every year in the postseason. But they haven't. There's been, like, two groups that have had core players who consistently perform well in the playoffs. You look at that 19 Nationals team. You look at the Rangers a couple years ago. Explain the 23 Rangers to me. Like, explain it to me. Because, like, we talk about, oh, Brian Cashman can never get a team over a hump. It's embarrassing. Are you telling me that the 23 Texas Rangers were built better than any Yankee team over the last 15 years? Were they really? Was that team better than the 2019 Yankees? Was it better than last year's Yankees? Was it better than all these Yankees? Because I don't know what has happened to them since. They finished under 500 last year. Where are they this year? What happened to Montgomery, right? We know him well. Left the Yankees, pitched well with the Cardinals. They traded him to Texas, went on this run. What happened since? He was god-awful, and then he got hurt. What happened to Aldis, the Garcia? What happened to these guys who were dominant in the postseason? And why haven't they been able to keep it up? It's not a complete crapshoot. I don't like to say it's a complete crapshoot. But if you want to lie to yourself and tell you that there's no amount of crapshoot to it, that it's strictly just Brian Cashman sucks at this and the Yankees suck at it and other teams do it better, I just don't believe that. I don't believe that. There's a couple who do it better, absolutely. The Dodgers are willing to spend more money, do it better. No doubt. No doubt. The Astros, over the last handful of years, really, as an organization, have done it incredibly well, have done it way better than the Yankees, and have been the thorn in their side and the bane of their existence. Astros have done it better. Absolutely. Like, outside of that, like, the Boston Red Sox, even the Red Sox, have had a couple championships. Haven't had one since 18, but 13, 18. Look at the teams around those years. The Yankees have been every bit as good as the 2013 Red Sox. They just played well in the postseason and won the World Series. And I'm not diminishing that. That's a skill, and that's a special group you put together to win a championship. But then what happened to them after that? And what happened to them the years before that? And the same thing in 18. 18, they had this incredible year. They go on this incredible run. They were the best team in the American League, best team in baseball, go through the postseason like a hot knife through butter. Where have they been since? How many last place finishes? They're not a special group. They didn't put together this all-star team that has now consistently been good. They've been a disaster most years. They won the championship when it was their year to win the championship. And the Yankees have had a couple years to do that, and it's either been the Astros who have been the thorn in their side and been the better at it and have gotten to them, or last year the Dodgers. Now, that's not to make excuses because you have to win. I get that. But we talk about it like there's no element of just having a hot month. There's no element of luck to it. There's no element of just I had, you know, Steve Pierce go off and Jackie Bradley Jr. go off when he couldn't hit a single other year of his career, and then he dominates in the postseason. Why didn't Steve Pierce get a contract? Steve Pierce was the World Series MVP. He signed the next year with the Boston Red Sox for a one-year, $6 million deal. He just won the World Series MVP. Why didn't that parlay into a $30, $40 million deal? Why didn't he get multiple years? You know why? Because he's Steve Pierce, and October the year before doesn't mean Steve Pierce is going to be worth a damn for the rest of his career. And guess what? He wasn't. If you aren't willing to acknowledge that there's some of that, because I'm willing to acknowledge there are teams who do it better, and the Yankees haven't done it good enough for enough years. But we act like the Yankees haven't built a team worthy of a championship in forever. It's just not true. It's just not true. The 2019 team was good enough to win the World Series. They just didn't. Last year's team was good enough to win the World Series. When you're in the World Series, you're good enough to win the World Series. That's how it works. They were good enough. They got beat. They could have easily won game one, easily won game five, headed back to L.A. up 3-2. Easily. If not for a bad throw from the outfield and Glaber not being able to get in front of it, and obviously the fifth inning. They just didn't play well enough. Texas got hot, played well enough. 18 Red Sox got hot, played well enough. There's no secret sauce. There's no way to do it. There's nothing the Yankees are missing. They got to play better in the biggest moments. And that includes Aaron Judge. That includes the superstar that we continue to say, oh, when are they ever going to put a team around him good enough? They have. He needs to help. Let's go to Billy in Hoboken. What's up, Billy?
Hey, Z-Max, thank you for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, I have a crazy idea.
What's that?
How about we try Ben Rice at third? Maybe train him? Because he's really good at first, and he can catch. He's a catcher. I think he could adapt to third base. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, no. Not right now. Not for this season. I mean, if you want to, for whatever reason, see if he could play. I mean, all we do is complain about how the Yankees play guys out of position. Now you want to put Ben Rice at third base. Like, it's just, he's not a third baseman. He's not even a first baseman. He's come up as a catcher, and they played him at first base because of need. But I can't move him over to the hot corner. Like, he's just not good enough.
Because Stan's back at DH, and, you know.
No, listen, in a perfect world, does it open things up? Of course. If Ben Rice could play third base, it would open a hell of a lot. It would make things a lot easier for the Yankees. He can't. He's a catcher who's okay at first base. Not going to move him over to third. See, this is what's funny about Yankee fans, because I understand maybe you're not the same one screaming about players out of position, but, like, this is where we are. We play everybody out of position. How about Ben Rice at third? Like, you can't, like, we can't do this. That's not how it works.
Bro, who do you think has a better shot at just stepping in and playing third right now? Ben Rice or Aaron Boone?
Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone, probably. He wouldn't be able to hit, but just play the spot defensively, probably Aaron Boone. Oh, my God. But, hey, look, I get it. Because it does answer, like, if that were to be the case, it would make things a hell of a lot easier for the Yankees. But it's just not plausible. It's not plausible. I mean, it's so funny. The fans are just funny. I'm sorry. I know this has kind of become my shtick. I don't mean it to be. I'm not trying to give you a shtick. Shticks don't work for 5 hours. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's one thing. I had a shtick a little bit when I was with Carton and Roberts as Big Mac. I can't come on here every night for 3-5 hours and give you a fake. So, like, this is me. This is what I honestly think. This is how I honestly believe. The Yankee fans are the best. Like, it's just screaming and crying about playing out of position. Then we want to move Ben Rice to third. We get one day. I don't know if it happened before. It probably has or after. But, you know, Goldschmidt takes ground balls at second base. We're all dreaming about him playing second. Like, but yet we'll scream and cry that they play guys out of position. But, ooh, Goldie taking ground balls at second base. That's interesting. It's not that interesting. It's not interesting at all. But they gotta find the right move. And my point of the open was, one, Brian Cashman has been more aggressive than a lot of you want to give him credit for. It's the moves haven't worked out. I can't argue that. That's absolutely true. And that's my point about Suarez right now. Do you really want to trade Schlittler? Now, again, I can't say Schlittler is off limits either. Like, I think that's too far. The kid came up and made one start, and we're going to say you can't trade him? I don't know if I want to trade him for a rental necessarily, but there are moves that could be made where Schlittler or Spencer Jones get moved. But, like, the Yankees could do, and here's my point, the Yankees could make every move you want them to. They could go out and get Suarez. They could go out and get, again, another name I seem to always forget, the closer in Minnesota. Zoo, you corrected me on it yesterday. Who's the closer in Minnesota?
Duran,
thank you. Another, there are just certain names that, like Mitchell Robinson, whenever I talk Knicks, for whatever reason, is a name that just sometimes doesn't come to my brain. But, like, you could trade for Duran. You could trade for two closers in baseball right now. You could trade for Suarez. You could trade for a starting pitcher. You could have the home run grand slam trade deadline, and Yankee fans could be all over the place going, I still think Cashman sucks, but that's one hell of a trade deadline. Let's go. They could give you everything you want, and they could still lose. And there have been players brought here who have been having really good seasons and really good careers. Like Edwin Encarnacion was the epitome of the stable bat. He was as much a guarantee as you could have every year. Like I just had his numbers up. Edwin Encarnacion. Ready? OPS. Since 2012, they traded for him in 2019. Since 2012, 941, 904, 901, 929, 886, 881, 810. And then he had an 8, between the two, he had an 875. But in 19 for Seattle, when he got traded from Seattle to the Yankees, he played in 65 games. So I think he must have been a little bit banged up. 65 games. He had 21 home runs in 65 games and 49 RBIs and had an 888 OPS. That's Edwin Encarnacion in a nutshell. 65 games, a 2.1 war. 65 games, 21 home runs, 49 RBIs, and an 880 OPS. Then he came over to the Yankees, played in 44 games, hit 13 home runs, drove in 37 runs, and had an 856 OPS. That's who they traded for. Edwin Encarnacion, as much as a lock as you could have. And then he gets to the postseason, and it was...
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
A disaster. In the series against the Twins, he hits 308. He drives in two runs. He hits 308, OPS of 819. He goes 4-for-13. I thought it was even better than that. 4-for-13, two RBIs. ALCS against Houston, he hits 1-for-18. He bats 56. 0.056 with an OPS of 338. And he strikes out 11 times in 18 at-bats. 11 times in 18 at-bats. Now, if you can explain that to me, if you can explain how Edwin Encarnacion could have an 888 OPS halfway through the year with Seattle, an 858 OPS in the second half with the New York Yankees, hit 308 in the first round with an 819 OPS, and then strike out 11 times in 18 at-bats against Houston. You're smarter than I am, because I have no freaking idea how that happened. King George in the Bronx. What's up, King George?
Live long and prosper. You fought Superman all day and all night. You beat him with your fists and kryptonite, and the thing that caused him a lot of pain was when you stole and married Lois Lane and didn't say why or explain.
Look at you. That was normally it's just like the one little limerick.
What did Jimmy Durante say? I got a million of them.
And yeah, I'm sure you do.
Not giving Zoo an ode. Because I only give odes to great personalities.
Oh, okay. Look at Zoo. He's flattered.
Zoo's personality is so big and so sharp that razor blades and bayonets ask him for advice.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, no, because only the great ones get an ode from me.
All right.
And I'm not watching another All-Star game. Because it went from a baseball game to the home run hitting contest.
Oh,
like
come
it.
On. Really?
And I'm not going to watch it again.
Oh, George, really? I thought it was great. Now, look, I'm with you that it cannot decide regular season games that matter. But as far as exhibitions go, I thought it actually was pretty awesome.
No, they went from the penthouse to the outhouse. It's like college football. Instead of going for the tie, they changed the game to add different rules to the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
No, I just can't take it.
Yeah, I hear you, George, and thank you for the odes. I appreciate it. I disagree with you. I thought it was awesome. Now, again, I yelled about it last night. For some reason, you know, they don't put that out there. They don't write a story about that. It's just me and Anthony Volpe. I'm being boxed in. I know I say it a lot. I know I talk about the Yankees a good amount. I'm not saying I don't. It's not the only thing I talk about, but I talk about it a good amount. But that wasn't the whole show yesterday. It doesn't matter. I think Judge and Ohtani have to be in it. Like the stars in that moment have to be in it. But the actual, I think they could have gone the 10th and played one extra inning to give a chance for a legitimate walk-off. But I thought it brought drama. I thought it was awesome. I think it's a great way to end the All-Star game. I really did. I thought it was a great way to end the All-Star. I'm open to, like, if the team's within one run going to it and only giving maybe two hitters to the team that's down the run and giving three hitters to the team that's up a run. It's so cool. I would, and who cares about actually winning or losing the game anymore? Like, I would look to try and fit that in any chance I got. I thought it was fantastic. I just don't think it's anything you could actually do. It's not the same thing as a shootout. Like, anybody who says, well, it's the same thing as a shootout. No, it's not. Because theoretically, you could have a penalty shot. I mean, you do. Like, that exists inside the game of hockey. And the goalie is actually trying. The pitcher is not trying. It's batting practice. The goalie is actually trying to stop the guy from scoring. It's legitimately two play. Like, it's not the same thing as batting practice for a home run thing at the end of the game. It's not the same thing as a shootout. I don't care what anybody says. That is not going to end regular season baseball games. There is no way in hell. That is a disastrous idea. Disastrous. It can't be based just on that. Absolutely not. Now, if you want to have some sort of, even that wouldn't even make any sense. Like, if you could find a way to make it work where the pitcher is out there trying, like, I don't know how you could do this, but, like, I don't know. You pick three hitters against the legitimate pitcher, and if there's, I don't know, two strikeouts and two balls hit over 100 miles an hour. Like, I'm just trying to come up with some nonsense. Even that's dumb. I'm fine with the way it is. I don't hate the Manfred man on second base. I think it's a fine. I don't think it's a bad rule at all. I think it does a lot of what we want baseball to be like. I think it creates the kind of game that we want played. But there is no way in hell they are bringing a home run derby to the end of actual meaningful regular season games. There is no way in hell. Now, the challenge system, that's a different conversation. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Steve, hang through. Quick break, update, back to your calls on the other side. Having a little fun as we do our ride to midnight right here. Oh, excuse me, that was on Tuesday or Monday night. This is a midnight ride all the way to 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Be back after the update. Take your calls then. Be back in a few.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.